Well, I feel like the Lord's been talking to me some through the week, and been thinking some about what I wrote on the board. It says, a great contrast. And I was thinking about the different contrast. When we talked about some of these things in Sunday school this morning in the adult class, but I was thinking about how that the Bible brings out terms like death to life. It brings out terms like darkness to light, and being a captive and being set free, and asleep and awake. And I'm sure there's a number of other things, but those are the ones that came to my mind. Most of us here are probably, a lot of us here remember Brother Sammons and how that he was a man in deep sin, the devil just ruining his life. And he said he had no willpower. I heard him say this a lot of times. He said, I didn't have any willpower to be able to do anything. I couldn't set my hand to something and just have the willpower to finish it. But he wrote a book called From Darkness to Light, if I remember the name right. And he tells about how he used to drink and how he used to do all kinds of shameful things. And he tells about how God delivered him. And he called the name of the book From Darkness to Light. I want us to think a little bit this morning about the great contrast that the Lord wants to have in our lives and in our hearts today. There is a great contrast between darkness and light. If you turned all the lights out in here, it would be a great contrast to what we see right now. It would be a great contrast. And you know, the Bible bears out that great contrast in our lives. And the Lord wants to make a contrast like that from what we used to be. I remember one time Brother Samuels was in Enid. And if I remember right, he told us that he had preached 60 nights in a row, every single night, leaving one place, driving to the next, and preaching that night, and then keeping that up for, I think he said at that time, he was in that 60 days. He had preached 60 nights in a row. And you know, he had something to preach about. The Lord had done something in his heart and in his life that so changed him and so changed his life that from the time he got up from that altar till the time he died, he went right out telling the good news of what God had done for him. And for the rest of his life, all the years I knew, I heard many wonderful messages that God gave him over and over telling about how God changed his life and how he had been all of these things and some of them very shameful things and how God had got a hold of his heart. This morning, I just want us to think a little bit about that contrast in our lives. Not only about how that the Lord wants to save us from a life of darkness, because the Bible relates darkness to sin, to wrong, to shameful things. That's what it relates darkness to. And it relates light to spiritual life, to the life of God, to peace, to righteousness, to right things. And we find a number of our songs. Number 470, we sang it first this morning. I don't know who called it. But it starts out, it says, from death to life. Oh, what a thought. Within my heart, within my soul, what change is wrought. By power divine, no tongue can tell. One thing I know, for me 'tis well. The author of that song had a change in his life. He had been changed from darkness to light and from death to life. And it goes on and he says, one thing I know, for me 'tis well, from darkness unto light sublime. very sublime, through my Redeemer's matchless name. For this he left his home on high, that I should not forever die. The Lord came to change us from darkness to light, from being asleep spiritually, not awake to the things of God, to being awake to the things of God. And he wants us as the people of God to be awake, to be spiritually alive, and with the same intensity that we might have served the devil and we might have served sin. The Lord wants us to serve him with an even greater intensity this morning. And he has something to serve him for. What did we have when we had the life of darkness and sin and reproach? We had reproach. We had shame. We had things we're ashamed today. Probably many of us are, to tell some of the things we did when we were in sin. And I didn't even go out into the things many did. But there's things I wouldn't want to even mention before I got saved. I'm thankful. I'm ashamed of those things now. But you know what? I thank the Lord. He brought me life and peace. He brought righteousness and something so, so much better. This morning, I want to just urge us to recognize the great contrast God has for us and be alive and let him live in us. Give ourselves to him. Give ourselves to it. As we allow the enemy to drag us in the dirt and make us follow him and do all the things some may have done, I want to tell you, the Lord would like for us, as Brother Sammons did. He got a hold of something and you could see the gleam in his eye. Over and over he told the story of how the Lord saved him from that drunken life that he was in, about to split his home up, all of those things. But God saved him and changed his life. And what a contrast his life was. Instead of shame, instead of disgrace, instead of all the things he had, from that time on, we find life and hope and peace and joy and something to share with people, something that helped many people fix their lives. We saw that, didn't we? That's a contrast this morning. Psalm number 177, it says, "Awake, my soul, to joyful lays, and sing my great Redeemer's praise. He justly claims a song for me, his loving kindness, oh how free." And then number 94, there's lots and lots of songs you could go to. It says, "I was a captive." What's a captive? Unable to get free? Somebody that's taken against their will, really? Captivated, not able to break loose, wanting to break loose, can't break loose. "I was a captive," the songwriter says, "but mercy released me." What a contrast from being a captive in a cell or something, from being a captive to the things of sin, unable to break free from those things we wanted to so bad. But it says, "mercy released me. I was in darkness, but now I can see." What a contrast that is, isn't it? Awake, awake this morning. In Matthew 4 and 16, I want to read a number of scriptures this morning. It says here that the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them that which sat in the region and shadow of death, they were in the region of death. They were in the shadow of death. They were in darkness. Light is sprung up, it says. You know what a wonderful promise that is to us, isn't it? I don't know where you're at in your life this morning. We're all at different places in life. But you know what the promise is to us? Light is sprung up this morning. The Lord has light for his people. Contrasted to the depressing darkness of the world around us, that all the world is taken up in, the Lord wants to give us light this morning. In Acts 26 and 16, here's another that, like Brother Salmon's, was taken away with his own things, taken away with sin. But we find here, Paul the Apostle, it says, the Lord spoke to him when he struck him down on that road to Damascus. And he said, but rise and stand up on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes. Paul's commission, when the Lord first saved him, you know what he told him? I want you to go now to the Gentiles, to the sinner world. And he says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. You know, this morning, the power of darkness, it relates that with the power of Satan. You know, in many people's lives, Satan has a hold this morning. I don't know how many of us here this morning that Satan has a hold on your life. I want to tell you this morning, whether we're wherever we're at in life, the Lord wants to release that hold. He doesn't want us to be a captive. He doesn't want the power of Satan to have a hold on our life. The Lord wants us to be free. And He came to give us that. He came to wake us up to be the children of God. Instead of the power of Satan, it says that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. You know what that's talking about? Righteousness. It's talking about the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what the Lord came to bring His people. From the power of Satan that destroyed our lives to the power of God. And that is a contrast. The Lord never planned on coming to the earth and giving His people a little bit of change, and someday they can hope to be righteous. The Lord came to give us power. He came to give us strength and life and change us with a great contrast. He told Paul, he said, I want you to go to the Gentiles, and you're going to open their eyes through the power of the Lord, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from Satan unto, and from the power of Satan unto God. That was the contrast that the Lord said, I want you to do. Isn't that something for us to chew on this morning? Something to think about? From the power of Satan unto the power of God. What a contrast this morning the Lord wants to give us in our lives. In Ephesians 5 and 18, I'm sorry, Ephesians 5 and 8. It says here, for ye were sometimes... Listen to these words. You were sometimes darkness. We don't have a whole lot to boast about, do we? You were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful thing this morning, that the Lord wants to give us light? It speaks in one scripture, it says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. You know, this morning, we don't have much to boast about, do we? Except that the Lord came along. One of our songs, I believe, talks about boasting. My boast is in the Lord. And you know, this morning, we may have done those things. But I want to tell you, it says, "Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." I just want to encourage us this morning. The Lord wants us to be children of light. He wants us to be children of the Lord, children of the power of God, children moved upon by the Lord. And I look around at the world and it seems like it is increasingly, it's like dusk getting right up to night. It is almost into the deep night. Maybe it already is. And we see that creeping all around us. Saints, it's our chance. It's our time for us to shine. There is a great contrast between people that constantly cannot serve God, constantly serving the life of sin and the flesh. And then we find them over and over. We see how the devil just divides off the children and all of these things. We don't like that. But you know what, saints? I want to encourage us. We have what the world needs. I believe that. We have the light. We were ourselves sometimes foolish. I want to read that again. And disobedient. Deceived, serving divers lusts, all kinds of lusts and pleasures. Living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. I want to tell you, God has light for us this morning. In place of all that, He has peace and life today. In Ephesians 2 and 3, it says here, among whom also, well, we'll start at verse 1. And you hath He quickened. He's made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You mean the Lord can change natures? You mean He can really change from the inside out? Oh yes, that's what He came to do. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins. The Lord didn't love us because we changed. When we were dead in sins, He died for us, didn't He? That's the great love that He had for us. It says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, this morning, when I started reading these different contrasts and things, it was just amazing to me to see the great contrast the Scripture puts on the life of the old life and the life, the new life. It contrasts it like death and life, asleep and awake. One time we were asleep to spiritual things, but we're not asleep to spiritual things anymore. We're awake to spiritual things, and the Lord wants us to be. I want to read now some in Romans 6. Probably read this chapter, but I want to read first in the 21st verse. And it says here, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. All that sin is, all that sin contains, the end of it is death. There isn't any righteousness there. There isn't anything that takes us to heaven. In verse 19, it says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Paul is saying here, there was a time. He said that, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, more than just a little. It indicates more than that. They just kind of immersed their life in sin and iniquity. And it said, even so now. And I want to challenge us with this scripture this morning. Even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. You know, this morning, some of us here, all of us went to different depths in sin. Everyone sinned at some point. But some just kind of really ruined themselves. It's the way the devil tries to get everybody to do. But you know what Paul said? He didn't chastise them for that. He said, now, that's the way you did in the past. Now he says, you yield your members' servants to righteousness unto holiness. Just like you did that with the same kind of intensity of life. Yield yourself to God and to His ways. Yield yourself to the light, to the truth, to the ways of the Lord, to helping others. I noticed how Brother Mark, after he got saved, he wanted to tell people about the Lord. He couldn't stop from telling people about what God had done for him. But I want to drop back now and read some other verses in the sixth chapter. Starting at verse 1 and 2, it says, but what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I want us to take that verse. You know, Paul says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to it live any longer therein? Because we've died to sin. Sin is a thing of the past in our life. We died to that. There's a great contrast between death and life. A great contrast. You're not partly alive. You're either alive or you're dead, really. And, you know, if we're alive, the Lord wants us to yield ourselves to Him and His ways. I want to drop on down to verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. What is the old man? It's our old life of sin. And it says we are crucified with Christ. Christ was crucified. He got on the cross. He was nailed to that cross and He died. And the Lord says here, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. On the cross, we gave up our life in sin and gave up our life to sin, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. We don't live to it any longer. We die to it. That's the glorious hope of the gospel, is that the Lord will save us from the things that would kill us, the things that would ruin us. The Lord wants to save us from those things. And he says here, now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once, or He died for sin, for our sins once. But in that He liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Now Christ died. He died unto this life. And He can't die anymore. He died. And it says here, you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. How many places does it tell us in the Bible, I don't know, that we were darkness. We were at one time under sin. And he said, don't yield yourself to that anymore, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. And I want to encourage us today, saints, we are not just Christians. We are alive unto God. The Lord lives in this vessel. It's something the world has to have. Without it, the world is facing a terrible destruction, and we see it everywhere. I see the only hope for our world is that they change and that they allow God to change their inner self, their inner nature even. Okay, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. But ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. I want to look at that verse just a minute. When we serve the Lord, are we better than Eve when she disobeyed God? The devil told her, no, that's not the way it will be. You won't die. You shall not surely die, he said. You know what? I want us to remember something this morning. The same thing that made Eve die will make us die. It says here, when know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death. When we yield ourselves to sin, it's unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Now I want to look back at verse 14. It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What an awesome promise the Lord has left us here. Sin, he said, will not have dominion over you. You know what? We don't have to live with sin having dominion over us any longer. We are freed from that thing. And it says, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What is the difference? We still have the commandments, don't we? We still know what's right and wrong. The Lord still tells us. But under the old law, there was no grace. But under the new law, you know what that word grace means in the Greek? It says graciousness as gratifying of manner or act, especially the divine influence upon the heart. This is the grace that this is talking about. You're not under the law anymore. You have a special divine influence upon your heart that no longer do we have to have sin reigning over us. No longer does sin have to have the upper hand because of the divine influence of God, because of the graciousness of God. This is what this word grace means. It goes on, that definition. Especially the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. It means benefit, favor, gift, grace or gracious, joy, pleasure. That's what God looked upon us with. That kind of gift to us, that kind of pleasure to us. We're no longer under the law of sin and death. We're no longer under the law that at one time we knew what was wrong and we just couldn't help it. And Paul describes his experience in the 7th chapter. But you know, we find that the Lord, we're not under the law any longer, but we're under grace. And so we find that the Lord is able with that great grace to keep us. In verse 17 now, But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Being made free, free from sin, free from the things that brought disgrace, that brought shame, that brought trouble, that brought us all kinds of distressing situations free. He says, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. And that's true. When we were the servants of sin, we were free from righteousness. It don't mix. It's not like, it don't mix. It's like oil and water. It just don't mix. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Listen to this wonderful scripture. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that a wonderful promise that the Lord has given us, that we can have life? I want to read another contrast in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. It says here, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. I was thinking about the awake to righteousness and sin not. You know, we were asleep to righteousness at one time, and we were awake to the ways of the flesh. But the Lord wants our lives today to be awake, to be alive, to be vibrant, to be full of life. I believe that's what the Lord wants His people to be. Awake to righteousness. Awake to righteousness. Awake in our lives. Be keen to it. Be keen to the word of the Lord. Be keen in our lives to God. Be ready to be there. Be ready to be counted on. Be ready for the Lord to deal with our hearts. Awake. Be keen. Be alive. The Lord wants us to be that this morning. In 1 Thessalonians 5, there's many, many places that we could read, but we just have a couple more here. 5 and 4, it says, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are not in darkness any longer. Isn't that wonderful? I don't like the darkness all that much, even in this world. I stumble at things in the darkness. I like some light on. I love light. We have lots of windows in our front room because I love light. I've always loved light. I can't stand dark places. But you know, it says here, ye are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. He's talking about the end of time. We're not even in darkness that day is going to overtake us like a thief. And all of a sudden we say, I didn't know. I didn't see it. I didn't know. He said, you're not in darkness like that. That day's not going to overtake you like a thief. And the children, let's see. Ye are all the children of the light and the children of the day. We know the Lord's coming back, don't we? Oh, I don't know the day and the hour, but I'm expecting Him. And I'm living ready. I'm trying to live ready every day that when He comes, I'm ready. I got my clothes girded on. Got my light burning. Oil in the lamp. You know, the Lord wants us to be that way. He doesn't want us to be children of the darkness. Oh, Lord, I didn't realize You was going to come so soon. And He told us He was. And He tells us here, you're not in darkness that day will overtake you as a thief. You are the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Let's don't be sleepy to spiritual things. Let's be keen. Let's be on the cutting edge of the spiritual life, of the way God wants us to be, and be sharp, not dull, not asleep to the things of God, not unaware that God's trying to move in our lives and in the things around us, not unaware that soon this world's going to be in judgment. It says here, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. They're drunken in the night of sin. We don't have night in the same way that the world does, in a spiritual sense. But let us who are of the day, we are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. We hear all around us, all the time, such unbelief in the things of God. Such criticism, laughing and scorning. Even on the radios and things, sometimes you hear things like that. But you know what? That don't stop us at all, do we? Does it? Because we are of the day. And it says, let us be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Put it into our lives. Let it be alive and living. We should not have a faith that is surely almost ready to be extinguished. The Lord wants our faith to live. He wants us to find those places in God that makes us children of the day. Instead of the darkness creeping in around us and we feel like it's going to snuff us out. No, I don't believe that a Christian's life has to live like that, has to be almost snuffed out all the time. I know there's times that we may feel some discouragement, and I've been discouraged at times. But I will tell you, I believe the Lord has life and light in our life. He wants us to not be snuffed out. Put on the breastplate of love, faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? How that the Lord appointed us to obtain salvation. He gave us. He hasn't appointed us to wrath. I don't believe He appointed anybody to wrath. I don't believe He made anybody to just go to wrath. By our own choices, we do that. It says in the Scripture, I would that all men were saved. I don't believe that could be if the Lord appointed us to not be saved. We can be saved this morning. I want to read just a couple of other places. John 12 and 35. Jesus says here, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light. You know, I believe that had that light struck Paul down on that journey and he turned away from that, I am certain we would never have the great work that the Lord did through him, through his writings. Had Paul turned away from that light. I want to encourage us, as the Lord deals with us daily, as He does with all people, as He deals with us, as He teaches us, don't turn away from the light. As he shows us a place, let's move into it. He says here, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. And many people don't know they're walking in darkness. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who believes the report this morning in our lives? Will we live under the shroud of death and sin and wrong and darkness and spiritual sleepiness and all of those things? Or will we shake ourselves and respond, Lord, I want to be alive. I want to be keen. I want to be keen to the Spirit. I want my edge to be sharp. I want to be right where you want me to be. In 1 John 3 and 14, in closing, it says here, we know. Listen to this. Oh, I like this scripture. We know that we have passed from death unto life. Did you know we can know that? We can know that we've passed from death unto life. It says, because we love the brethren, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You know, the part that I wanted to get was, we know. We know that this great contrast has happened in our life. The things we used to do and follow, we don't follow those anymore. We come to service and we used to come maybe and feel conviction and all those things and the fear of God, of the wrath of God and the judgment. And instead we're rejoicing, aren't we? We're singing these songs and every verse is like another gem, another tasty piece of something for us to chew on. We find that. I thought about the song that says, I once was in bondage in Egypt's dark night, but Jesus has brought me out into the light. He banished my sins and has made my heart right. I'll never go back. I'll never go back. I'll never go back to the bondage of sin. I'll never go back to the place I was in. A crown of rejoicing I'm striving to win. I'll never go back again. You know, this morning, saints, we're striving after a crown, aren't we? I'll never go back by the grace of God. I found something a lot better than what I left, and I thank the Lord for it this morning. That contrast I just read probably 5% maybe of the scriptures. I don't know. They're abundant if you begin to read them through the New Testament. The contrast between the old life and the new. The Lord wants us to have that. And he wants us to have the new abundantly. That's what he came for. I came to bring life and life more abundantly. Amen.